Yeah, so, I mean, I guess because, like, Destiny's down, I guess we can just do this podcast. So, yeah. Hey, I guess, and whatever.
Oh.
Yeah.
What's wrong, bud? Well, you all right?
Well, I was in a good mood, but Destiny is down again.
Oh.
Yep. Yep. You spent all week at the pretzel desalination quarry just to come home to your to your escape, and it's down for six-hour maintenance.
Yep.
So
sure is, buddy.
I'm just playing, boys. Hey, what's up, and hello, not hey, I guess, and whatever. I actually am in a good mood. I'm sprightly and crunkish in nature. I'm also Jacob, and that is the eagle.
Hey, what's good, everybody?
Yeah, and that is Brent, the oldest of the crows.
I am the eldest of crows. Hello, everyone.
Mm-hmm. And when we activate our power rings, a microphone with tights and green hair appears, kicks ass, and talks to you about gaming. And its name is, I should have written something down before we started, boys. I forgot I didn't finish this paragraph. Anyway, we're the Bloodshot Eyes and Sore Thumbs podcast, where we talk about gaming and radness every single week. And how y'all doing this week?
I'm good, man. I got sore thumbs. It was a late night for us.
It was.
Some heavy eyes. A little tired. Yeah.
Those eyes. Yeah. Our bloodshot, as they should be. We're going to try and keep the Destiny talk to just a little bit, and it's just going to be here at the beginning. Just so you know, that is the reason why. Because we're dedicated to you, listeners. That's why. we need to get through every bit of this game as quickly as we can so that we are informed.
We're close.
At least that's what
knocking
I tell.
Knocking on the doorstep.
That's what I tell my girlfriend.
Yeah.
Yes. That's the intro, boys. Let's get into some news. I got a little bit here. Oh, is that another co-host?
Oh, the little guy?
Yeah, the little guy.
There he is.
There he is indeed. Okay,
I saw
he's not
some.
Stopping.
he's gonna be here for a while. I don't know if you guys saw this though, but TGS has been going on, the Tokyo Game Show.
Yeah.
And I saw an announcement of a new game coming out, and when I saw the art, it looked familiar, and when I found out who did the art, it all kind of lined up for me with this new game, Left Alive.
Yeah.
Now, if I'm not mistaken, the lead artist on this was worked on the Metal Gear franchise, right?
That's what I've heard.
Yeah, he sure did. He's one of my favorite artists here. Guys, I'm sorry about this pooch. We're going to keep this floating, though. All right.
Hurt.
He's just really enthusiastic. Yeah, this fellow's name's Yuji Shinkawa. He's one of my favorite artists in all things. It's mainly because I really, not that you asked me, but I will just share. It's mainly because I really like the contrast in a lot of the stuff that he does. So, like, he does a lot of video game work, as you see from a lot of the past Metal Gear games he does all the art for. Where everything's like super sci-fi, super way over the top serious, but he'll do it with watercolor and a lot of passive paints and painting.
Yeah, he's definitely got a look about him. You know, a lot of the Metal Gear promotional materials over the years have had this same kind of, like you said, watercolor kind of sketch vibe to him. And, you know, seeing the key art for this Left Alive game, it is very apparent it's from the same guy. It's come from the same cloth.
I mean, the character kind of looks exactly like Cypher from Metal Gear Solid 3.
I would say he looks very much like that character design.
Mm. Yeah, I mean, it's instantly recognizable.
Well, and the game itself, you know, other than its art, has some pedigree behind it because the fella in charge of it has been the Final Fantasy franchise director for a while. So it's definitely in some good hands. You know, Final Fantasy has been a very strong franchise for Square Enix over the years. So it'll be really cool to see what this Left Alive game looks like because it's got mechs in it, right?
Yeah, they look like Metal Gears. I mean, at least the little bit we've seen in this trailer.
I haven't watched any trailer of it yet. I've only seen the screenshots. I was really trying to look for, you know, pinup type art, other kind of art by Mr. Shinkawa. to see what else he had going on. But I could really only find a couple of those panels. I didn't watch the video for it just yet. What was the gist y'all got from it, if anything? If it sounds pretty mysterious, though.
I mean, there really wasn't much. Like
very short, like little teaser thing, yeah.
Yeah, there's like maybe 15 seconds of actual like footage. Like a dude running that looked like, you know, the Phantom Pain, that kind of like running mechanic. Just like how all the running in that worked.
Oh, and like then Fox pretty Engine much, type stuff?
Yeah, and then just pretty much like the back of a mech standing up. And that was pretty much it.
Yeah! All right. I'm sold.
Yeah, they can... Looks like we definitely know what we're going for there on this one.
Well, it seems cool. You know, I'm excited to see more about it. You know, coming soon. Did you guys see Rockstar's little teaser about some more info coming soon?
Yeah, talk about cryptic, though. Like some kind of like weird press conference, like everybody check us out type of thing.
Yeah.
Well, we don't know what it's going to be, right?
I love the fact that Rockstar, you know, commands such attention that they can say, hey, check out our website on this date at this time for something. You know, they don't even have to say what it is and everybody's going to show up. They posted on Twitter and on their website and stuff that on Thursday, September 28th at 11 a.m., they're going to show something off at their website. But with that all being said, that whole promotional material is in the font of Red Dead on a Red Dead Redemption background, so it's no secret what it's probably going to be. Mm-hmm. Do you guys think we'll maybe get a release date for it or more information?
A release date would be awesome, as long as it's not far off in 2018.
I would hope we get more information, so that's probably, you know, a winner. I would say a release date. They've been teasing it for a couple months now.
Probably get a solid little trailer.
Yeah, because we got one trailer around E3 time in the spring, and they said it was coming this fall, and then they pushed it back. Mm-hmm. You know, so yeah, I would love to see a release date. Maybe see a little bit like what the story is about. You know,
yeah,
that seems neat. Oh, I didn't play much of the first one, but enough to know why people love it. But you know, I think I'm ready for a nice Western game.
That's what I was actually about to ask. So, Eagle, you did play a little. Jacob, did you play the first Red Dead?
No, I didn't Redemption. Like a whole, you know, I didn't get into a whole lot of the early Rockstar games. They kind of lost me at State of Emergency. But, you know, later on, I've ended up playing, like, Vice City and eventually a little bit of Grand Theft Auto 5, and they're pretty cool. Rockstar Table Tennis was balling. No, that game was sick. I loved
it. No, better than it should have been, yes.
Yeah, but I tried Red Dead, but that was when it was just Red Dead Revolver. It was years before Redemption came out. That's the whole idea with that.
Oh, dude. I,
what about
I
you,
dumped,
Mr. Brent?
I dumped a lot of my time in Red Dead Redemption. So I'm super hyped for this one. Like I'm actually curious. I want to go back and see how many hours I have in that. I was running around the desert a lot.
Isn't that game supposed to be just packed with content? I just never got back to it, man.
It's massive.
Yeah, you know, it's like a Grand Theft Auto set in, you know, Western times with a horse instead of cars.
Yep. And I'll tell you right now, horses are not as fast as cars.
Yeah.
Oh, geez, man. Spoilers.
Roach. Tom Roach.
Speaking of being out in the desert, did you guys see this Ghost Recon Wildlands has a PvP beta going on?
Yeah.
Are y'all ready for PvP in Wildlands?
I think Eagle has spent the most time with Wildlands, so Eagle, you tell me.
Well, so Wildlands is like a perfect game for me. You know, huge world, lots of cars, lots of enemies, cool weapons, you know, kind of a sandbox to have fun in. And I enjoyed playing through it. I was a little bummed because before the game came out, they talked a lot about PvP, but they didn't give much about specifics. And, you know, here we are like 6 months after release, and now we're getting a beta for the PvP. So, you know, it's really late, but it does seem like it does have some interesting things going on. It's 4v4 on a small little kind of arena-based section of the map. And, you know, I've seen some clips online. It seems pretty interesting. You know, I want to check it out. I just don't know if PvP is what would work well with Wildlands,
so
you know, in their formula.
You're saying they set up like arenas for PvP, these matches, like smaller areas?
Yeah, think of them like sectioning off like a city block for you guys to fight in right. in the huge map.
Right.
And, I would think of him working more like maybe Watch Dogs, where you know,
yeah, you're like hunting somebody down, or
yeah, or kind of racing another team for a mission objective or something like that.
Oh, that would be cool. Yeah, because
to me, you know, they have that big, beautiful map, and you know, they're not going to use any of it for the PvP, so you know, that's kind of a bummer. You know, but you know, the stuff that I've seen on it seems like it gives you the ability to go kind of tactical and use your gadgets and stuff versus the other team. So, you know, that could be pretty cool. So, you know, jury's like still out.
Like you were kind of saying earlier, it could be like a hyper tactical Gears of War.
Yeah, you know.
Yeah, because I really enjoy super tactical. Like, so I can take a helicopter and fly it into the base, right? And with the explosion, eliminate the other team.
Strapped all with C4, you know, you're good to go. But, yeah, you know, it could be cool. I'm planning to check it out this week, hopefully. You know, the nice thing about it is they said that the PvP beta is open and you don't need to own the base game to join in. So, if you've been interested, it might be like a cool demo to even see what Wildlands is all about. You know, because it runs in that engine, uses, you know, the same characters and weapons.
That's pretty cool. Yeah. I mean, wait, when did Wildlands come out? Like 4 months ago?
I want to say February.
February or March, I believe, yeah.
Heard. All right. Roll out it's that a cool PvP. Game.
And it's pretty low in price now, too. So, you know, check out the PvP if you like it. Maybe scoop the game on sale. You know, it's pretty cool.
All right. Solid advice.
I think it did get the permanent $20 decrease, didn't it?
Yeah. It's probably in the 30 to 40 range for sure.
Yeah. Yeah, it goes down real smooth. Real easy to play. And just, I mean, it's packed with hours of stuff to do on there. There's,
yeah.
I don't really get into the, you know, like the all-out military sim stuff like that. So it's daunting indeed. The amount that I've left on that game to do.
It is one of those Ubisoft checklist style games. With collectibles here and collectibles there. But, so yeah,
I saw really, a little bit more news. I figured you'd be jumping on this one first, Eagle, with the Overwatch stuff that's coming out.
Oh, you got to save it for later. You know, it's like a dessert. You know, you
so you haven't checked it out yet?
Oh, no, no, I sure have. yeah, so Overwatch has had the new map, Junkertown, kind of in its test servers and stuff, and they finally pushed out the patch. So it's live now. You know, and so this morning, actually, I checked out Junkertown. It's pretty neat map to escort the payload style objective. It was pretty neat from Junkrat and Roadhog's hometown, so of Australia.
Ah,
nice. In the so brush. Neat.
Yes. And then pretty much the last note on that was they had huge changes for Mercy and D.Va. They gave some new abilities and swapped them around a little bit. So I know Carrie's been enjoying the new Mercy changes. It makes her a little bit more
new tactical. All-out abilities? Like they changed the character?
Yeah. So just for example, D.Va, she's a big tank, little girl in a big mech suit. And she had a defense matrix, which kind of sucks in all projectiles and stuff and eliminates them. So she can stand in front and tank the enemy. And then she also had guns. Now, the problem with her guns is they didn't do much damage. They were just kind of a deterrent for other players. So if she caught another player at low health, she couldn't really finish it off, you know. So they gave her a new ability. She has, I believe they're called micro-missiles or mini-missiles. And, yeah, it's a whole new ability for her. She can fire at a salvo of missiles, and it really helps finish off a character that's at low health. So it changes the way it plays, and when one character changes, it changes the whole meta.
Does she have anything really offensive going on before? Offensive. But, yeah, I mean, you know what I mean. Like, more damage, or was she just all health before?
She was pretty much all health, and, you know, that defense matrix killing all projectiles coming in was huge. Mm-hmm. But, really, her big offensive move was her ultimate. She would throw out her mech suit in a big, self-destruct.
Pardon me, I was talking about Mercy.
Oh, Mercy. Yeah, I mean, she has a pistol, but... Yeah, her new abilities that they've done in this patch have making her more offensive, and her new ultimate, they completely changed that, and it makes her real offensive, so it's fun to see her flying around and doing damage now.
So, I mean, obviously all of these changes were pretty much honed in from the community, and Blizzard just went with them?
Yeah, you know, community complains, Blizzard responds, they test, and, you know, it's really apparent that they just kind of want to make the game competitive and fun. So, like, for instance, Mercy, they were seeing that players didn't like it because she was hiding behind a corner, waiting for her whole team to die, and then resurrect them in one big swoop. So they changed that to where now she can only resurrect one player. So she's playing with the team, you know, and resurrecting the first player that dies, you know, the most important player. So, you know, it just kind of changes the way the community interacts with each other. So it's neat. I'm glad that they continue to develop on that and tweak things.
Yeah. And that's Overwatch.
Yeah. That would be Overwatch. Esports, I don't have a huge ton going on right now. Mainly just league play for League of Legends today, and Counter-Strike starting up for a couple days tomorrow. All that can be found on Twitch.
Very true.
Yep.
And speaking of esports, just in the Overwatch scene, I saw that a fan favorite, Seagull, has signed with Envious, which is like Tom Brady being signed to the Yankees. Is that sports? Touchdown?
Yeah, if you get it to the other end of the board, they can king you.
Yeah. But that was a big sign for them, so it will make them a big powerhouse, so that'll be interesting to watch them play.
For shizzle. I have a little bit of news. It's that time. New Loot Crate came in. If you want me to hash that out. Loot Crate is not a sponsor of us.
Yet.
So, yeah, hopefully yet. It's pretty rad, so you should check it out, though. The gist of it is you pay monthly, and they send you monthly memorabilia based on stuff that you like. They have so many different flavors on there. Just got mine in, and the theme of it this week is robotics.
Hey.
Yep, it is an audio podcast, I am aware. I'm not an idiot. So I will make this quick. I just get really excited when this comes in every month. Number one, the t-shirt that came in with the logo for the Wallace Corporation, which is kind of a fictitious outfit booted up for that new Blade Runner.
Oh, yeah?
Movie that's coming out, Blade Runner 2049. I have no idea what to expect. Heard? I'm a giant Philip K. Dick fan. Not trying to say I'm the biggest one out there. I'm sure there are many more that know a lot more about his work than I do, but I appreciate a lot of his books. And I'm looking forward for this Blade Runner movie to see what's going on with it. Yeah. A Star Trek The Next Generation comic book.
Is it like a new comic book or
it is a new one with a Loot Crate exclusive on there. I used to collect when I was younger. I'm pretty sure this stuff isn't going to be worth anything though. However, it's it's sealed, so I will respect its seal. One thing I do love getting with these is when they send Star Wars stuff, and yeah, especially with Disney taking over with Star Wars, there's just been a huge saturation of memorabilia and stuff. I mean, why else would they have a totally different color of Y-Wing, you know, in a movie that took place before everything in the original trilogy, right?
Sell more toys!
But this one is actually wood pieces that come together to make an R2-D2 made out of wood.
That's pretty gnarly.
Yeah, hipster D2. Pretty cool. Comes with a pipe with no tobacco and a drug problem it doesn't tell anybody about. All right. Jeez. And then we got the monthly Loot Crate pin, which, you know, they kind of just go with every month. You collect them. Right. And, yeah, that's really all that's going on with this one this month. Oh, wait.
That's pretty cool.
One more thing. The statue. This one is actually pretty funny. It's a little model. It's an alien series of a mother alien. Or, excuse me, queen, I shouldn't say mother. Queen alien killing bishop in a cartoony manner. And the plaque says, queen takes bishop.
Oh, funny, funny.
Yeah, it's, you know, chess and aliens.
Got her.
Yep. If you get to the end of the board, the queen kills you.
Yeah.
Right.
Just like that.
Yep, just like that.
Touchdown.
I solved chess.
You win.
Buzzer beater. Well, that's the end of my news, really, with that Loot Crate. So, other than that, I really just have kind of what I've been playing this week. Have y'all been on anything else? I know we've spent a lot of time raiding, trying to get some VODs up on the old Mixer. And, you know, just trying to be out there in general, figuring it out. Edgy Stances really wants to do some guided games on the raid and such and the Nightfalls in the future. So, we've been trying to get that down.
Yeah. It's been fun working through that.
Consequently, and frustrating. And consequently, mm-hmm. I haven't seen a whole lot of other stuff going on with, you know, when I have sat down with my free time to play. I will tell you, I told you all a couple weeks ago, I scooped I Am Bread at a super discount. I know I'm probably late to the game with that, but, you know, whatever.
Now, what kind of bread is it?
Man, whatever kind of bread you want it to be, the graphics aren't really that great. I don't see any kind of grain. I see
like
a whole lot of
bread,
I would say Fisher Price. You know,
Fisher Price?
Yeah, the kind of bread that came with those like mini kitchen toys that always seemed to be on like a playground, you know, when you were a little kid.
Right.
All right.
But, you know, like the little plastic breads.
Oh, yeah.
All right. Well, you kind of look like that. All right.
Do they still bake those?
I don't, you know, I'm not really there for that part. I'm there for the toasting. That's a different department. Remember, I work in pretzel desalination. Mm-hmm. It's a different product.
There for the avocado toast.
Whoa. Before you think that we hang out with the bread guys, let me tell you something about pretzel desalination, homie.
Yeah.
Tell me something.
Are
you really challenging me to tell you something? Okay. Well, when the pretzels are picked from their vine, they have salt on them naturally. And so you have folks that need to watch their sodium intake. So you actually need to, when we mine them from the quarry, the vines, I guess the vines quarry. That grow out of the... We mine the vines,
see this place.
Anything else that rhymes with ines, from the quarry, and then we have to, you know, take the salt off of those, and that salt goes onto delicious French fries that go into Frosties. It's kind of like a cyclical type of, you know, ecosystem.
Man.
Pretzels and Frosties.
That is some sort of process.
Deeper than you thought, huh? Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, I'm a hit at parties.
When you said, you know, pretzel desalination, I figured you were just eating pretzels.
Yeah. No, just eating the salt off of them and putting them back in the bag.
Just licking them.
I work from home. So we don't hang out with those bread guys. But based on, I'm just a pretzel guy trying to make it in a bread world here within the realms of this game. And so the point of I Am Bread is you're a piece of bread, literally.
You are.
Okay.
Right in the title.
All right. Each corner of yourself, your bready self, is mapped to a trigger or bumper. So you kind of have to manipulate these, and you think of it as like little suction cuppers. Like every trigger you hold down is like a corner, that corresponding corner of the bread.
Yeah.
That's going to stick to the surface as you try and move yourself around, and you become toast. And
Now, is that just as simple as like trying to burn yourself? Like,
well,
how, get yourself on a hot surface?
How simple was it when you reached your final form, Eagle?
It took years and years and years.
Oh, I thought you weren't there yet. But either way, more difficult than you think. The first level, they throw a toaster at you. They make it easy.
Oh.
Like, oh, I'm supposed to be toast. I'll go to a toaster. And you got to figure out how to get from that table to that kitchen without causing too much damage. I don't want to give the whole game away. I'm basically just getting at it. It's a lot wackier, a lot more fun than it obviously sounds. If you don't already know, check it out. I Am Bread. It's hella cheap.
Yeah, I've definitely seen it, you know, popular in the streaming community and stuff. Cause, you know, it seems like one of those games that's tough to, like, move your character. You know, like, moving the bread is tougher than it looks.
Yeah. I mean, you get used to it, but then I don't know, in my head it kind of settles as a puzzler.
Yeah.
When everything's said and done as far as the learning curve, learning how to move. Because it's
like
usually a big,
level.
Big room they throw you in. So it's really packed with surprises if you were to take the long way.
Okay.
You know, and
like
not
surprises.
To get too earmuffs, too spoily-doily about it, but I'll just say, like, you know, yeah, you can go into a toaster, or you can find a way to drop a bowling ball on a television.
Heard.
Okay.
And that might start a fire, and that might make you toast. All I'm saying,
so
I don't want to ruin anybody's whatevers, but, you know.
I don't want any spoilers, but can you butter yourself?
I don't know. It's only a teen rating. I don't know, dude. That might be a little edgy for these stances.
Fair enough.
Other than that, over the course of last week,
cool,
my girlfriend, Donna, the beautiful Donna, she saw Crash Bandicoot Insane Trilogy for the PS4, and she scooped it. Yeah, she's been on there. And, you know, we talked about it being released and about its sales being astronomically high, if I'm remembering right. Like, it really kicked ass when it first, pardon my language, it really kicked booty
It sure did. Like, top of the charts in the UK and stuff like that.
And I'll tell you, I believe it. Like, it's a lot of fun to look at. It looks so awesome. Bandicoot looks like he's got fur. He's not like, you know, orange polygons anymore or anything like that. And
is it as frustrating?
It's up there. Yeah, I heard Donna squeezing the controller a little bit, but that's okay. That's okay.
Now it's kind of a it's the same gameplay as the first three games, I guess, and just like in, you know, like redone visuals and graphics and stuff, right?
Just repainted. I didn't play all of them. I really just have a lot of experience in the first one. Because I was older when I got my PlayStation in the first place. So when I finally got to the game, I was buying like Final Fantasy VIII, and it had already been out, like games like that. So I didn't dwell a lot on Crash Bandicoot.
Mm-hmm.
But this one looks so great, it's worth it. It looks awesome. That's Can't really say neat. Enough about it.
I would love to check that out. I hope they, you know, figure out a way to get that out on more platforms.
They really should. I mean, but Naughty Dog and PlayStation, they're like... They go together like pretzels and salt. Sorry. Mm. Sorry, guys. I just, you know, it's the industry.
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah, Crash was, you know, Sony's logo. You know, he was their mascot for a long time.
Yeah.
When those games were coming out, and he was being pushed really hard. I hope they redo Crash Team Racing at some point.
That was that whole 90s attitude stuff everybody was doing.
Yeah.
It got so weird hot. In the 90s.
It got real weird in the 90s, bro. Let me tell
you. Well,
guys,
I checked out a game this week, kind of.
What'd you check out, Eagle?
All right, it's got like six words in the title. You ready?
Destiny.
Rocket League.
Leviathan?
No, so I checked out Project Octopath Traveler on the Switch.
Oh, there's the... Hey, well, you gotta give me the bingo bonk. Those guys?
Yeah?
Oh, that's Blues Traveler. My bad. Sorry.
Okay,
I thought we were about to get some harmonica going there.
If only I had the talent. But Square Enix announced this new game pretty recently, and they put a demo up on the Switch, and if I'm not mistaken, it's still under development. Like, it's a current, you know, project for them. Which is why the name Project Octopath Traveler. I don't think it's the final name of the game, but I'm not sure.
Heard.
But it's kind of a interesting, like, old school pixel art RPG. That, you know, it's got a really beautiful look to it. If you're familiar with the tilt shift, like photography method and stuff, where the edges of everything are kind of faded out and look small and tiny.
Yeah.
Looks like Final Fantasy Tactics.
Kind of.
Yeah.
Yeah. But it's got some neat gameplay in that you can choose from 8 characters to start. And, you know, I'm not too far in the game, so I'm not sure how they interact. But it seems like you choose one character to go through the story's viewpoint. And you might interact with the other characters on the way. So... You can maybe play through it again with a different character and see a different viewpoint. But I'm not 100% sure on that. I haven't played enough, so you know, I'll keep going into it. But it does have some neat turn-based combat. You know, you can kind of battle anybody. So I don't know if it's going to be the whole Dark Souls thing where I can kill a quest giver.
Like, battle anybody? Mm. Let's level to something I can relate to, like Zelda. Like, you're running up to somebody who runs a shop in Zelda, and you can challenge them?
Yes.
What?
Yeah, it's pretty neat. No. You know, I challenged this old man, and he was like, I don't know if I can still fight, but I'll give you a run for your money.
Like, what kind of fight? Is it, like, the grids, or are you, like, does he have, like, all his friends, and you have all your friends, and you meet out back in, like, this turn-based thing? Or like,
yeah, there's a lot of like snapping and, you know, walking around in packs.
Guys, we did this last
Greased
week.
Hair.
Did this last week. Gotta write some new material, dude.
It's pretty straightforward turn-based combat. You know, they've got some different mechanics with, you know, armor breaking and stunning, but it's the typical like meter,
you know, who goes first and, you know, who goes second style of combat. But it is neat. It's got some cool look to it.
Any kind of multiplayer? I know this is a demo. I'm not trying to, like, expect you to know all of it.
Yeah, but not that anything? I've seen. It doesn't seem like something that would support that, but I'm not sure. I'll have to go deeper and check out, but I don't think so. But it is neat. Yeah, I'd recommend it if cool. you have a Switch. It's, you know, free to download and try.
Oh, boom. Check free.
Boom.
What kind of demo is it? Is it, like, timed or?
Yeah.
Not to my knowledge. I think it might just be, like, a kind of a cutoff. Like, maybe you can't leave the first city or.
Right.
I'm not sure. I put maybe an hour or so into it and didn't see any counter or notifications.
Yeah, if you were to Google this, it looks amazing.
Yeah, I don't know. I'm looking at all the screenshots of it.
If that's your thing,
now.
That is. But, you know, if it is your thing, it looks pretty awesome.
Yeah.
Pretty rad. Anything else this week as far as, you know, we got a little bit more news here because we're coming to the end of September. And October is a huge wave of new releases that we're looking forward to. Oh.
Jeez and crackers.
That's what Conan's
He's awake,
looking
folks.
To.
I promise we're not recording in a kennel
today. Yeah, seriously. I don't know what the deal is. My dog's usually very well behaved.
And the eclipse happened a few weeks ago, right? It's not back. It's,
yeah, been over a month.
Wait, guys, right. Destiny? Anyway, what I'm trying to say is that, you know, we're going to start going through some of these releases that are coming out in the next month. And I want to see if we have anything else going on this week. I almost forgot. Eagle, you were telling me we were talking a little bit more about The Witness. And then this is one of the more interesting things I've heard about this week. What were you saying about it being a mobile game now?
Yeah, kind of out of left field, we got two weird announcements that I don't think have anything to do with each other, but the game The Witness, in which I believe we covered lightly, you know, when we first started the show earlier this year, as I was finishing up that game, they said that's coming to mobile, and sure enough, I opened my app store, and it's right there. It's $10. It's already available. You know, you can download it right now, and, you know, I don't know. I haven't played it, but it does seem like it's the full game. It's how it's being advertised, at least. So
does it move the same way and everything?
Yeah, like how do you, like, is it like can you, like, move your phone actually, like, you know,
I don't
really
know.
Like 360 turn.
It's like a first person exploratory game, so
yeah.
I feel like they're gonna have to have, like, some type of, you know, stick controls on the screen or like a virtual D-pad.
I hate that
me too.
Yeah,
and then the phone gets, like, hotter than 1,000 suns.
Yeah.
And I'm really excited for The Witness to come to any platform, because I think, you know, everybody should experience that game if you have the chance. But there are some things that worry about it. It worry me about it being on mobile is that, yeah, the control scheme I'm curious about, because, you know, I don't want to spoil anything about that game, but the puzzles can be based on perspective. They can be based on sound. And
yeah.
I don't know about you guys. If I'm playing a game on my phone, I never have the sound on. I don't know. I hope it is as good as experience on the phone as it is, you know, a console. Because it's an amazing game.
If I remember right, and Witness kind of, like, gave me a lot of that vertigo problem that I usually have. So, unfortunately, I haven't gotten through a ton of it. And that makes me so upset, but I have watched y'all's and Carrie's videos that you've had when you've broadcasted her. What I've extracted from that is that, you know, there's a lot in between those puzzles too that you pick up on as far as the world that you're in. So, like, you know, is a cell phone going to handle this fully walking around game? That's probably not the most eloquent way to put that, but, you know, this walking simulator where you have puzzles to solve in between, you know, is it just going to go like Myst was back on the PC? You know, you have a floating hand and you're like, I want to click here, and then the background card basically changes, you know, and
right.
taking your spaces forward, paces forward, paces forward until you get to each. I don't know. I just don't see it being able to work very well that way.
Yeah, seems strange.
I think the magic's going to get lost if you can't, you know, discover things naturally, right? You know, I played a lot of that game with my mother, and, you know, there were several times where she was like, wait, what's that? And, you know, we'll turn and look at something and go, ah! You know, like, together it was so cheesy, but it was a really special game like that, and, like, I hope that experience transfers to the phone.
Yeah.
You know, we'll see. Yeah, you know, I want to check it out.
Well, you said another one was coming out too. Inside.
Yeah. Inside was a game that was originally released on Xbox, and then I think it was released on PS4 later. But yeah, a really awesome side-scrolling kind of platformer puzzle game. Really high quality animations and stuff, kind of dark vibe. It's so much fun to play through.
That one I see working a lot easier on a phone.
I do too.
Yeah.
There's some really cool sound in it, but I don't think it's as necessary as something like The Witness, you know. So like, I would be sad if you played that game without headphones on your phone, but you could probably still enjoy it. But yeah, Brent, I would highly recommend checking that out. That game is awesome.
Brent, what did you do this week?
Well, for the most part, Raid. We've been raiding.
Stupid Raid.
So much Raid. Dogs are top.
Raid. Sun middle.
Sun's middle.
X's are sun.
No!
I hate you. I didn't mean
Jimmy,
that.
Jimmy, get your Scion.
Get your Scion. Just get your Scion.
I like to call them, you know when people sigh? You know, so hard as to almost say something with their sigh noise. I like to call that the emphasi. All right. When they emphasize their sighs and just
yeah. Okay.
Just a real good one like that. A raid will do that to you.
A raid will bring out everything in you.
Talking about sighing. No, I'm joking. No, I got a little further in Metroid. I want to say, last week I was saying, you know, the Metroids are kind of getting a little stale, and the game is seeming a little easy to me. I'm pleased to say that they've kind of switched up the Metroids. I've had to now learn these new Metroids, like attack patterns and things like that. They've definitely killed me a couple times, so the difficulty definitely is ramping up. And yeah, I have like 17 Metroids left. And I'll say, these maps seem big to me. Some people,
really?
Yeah, like some people said, like they think the maps are small, but I don't know, man. Like they seem pretty daunting to me at some times. And like I'm trying to use my little like radar to like find every single little thing, and I'm definitely scratching my head at a lot of these places. Like, okay, I know I can see where that is, but I don't know how to get there, and I'll just go
ice
all
missile.
Around the map.
You're welcome.
Trying. Oh, dude.
Always the ice missile.
Ice missile.
You're
buddy, welcome.
I don't have it yet. That's the thing.
It's in your heart.
Are you saying my heart
is
made of
ice? Missile in our heart.
Well, if you pre-order Destiny, yeah, but those who didn't, you're screwed.
Hey. Well, I mean, honestly, I'm actually pretty hyped for you because I remember, you know, in between, salt scrapings on pretzels last week. I remember you saying that it was getting a lot more challenging for you, like in a good way. And,
yeah.
Because you started blowing through it. I think like the next day you came back saying you got like 17 or 20.
Yeah. Yeah. Like I think the first night I got like 15 Metroids and a lot of power ups, which I guess was really rewarding at the time.
Yeah. But that either means the game's easy or you're about to snap that DS in half.
No, but like it's definitely slowing down now. I'm really like taking more of my time and really trying to figure it out. But no, man, I'm having a great time. And so I will say, my score is kind of going up. I'm at out of 8.5. I think I said
oh,
8
gosh.
Last week.
Oh,
I'm
just, wow.
He's gonna get the Game Informer 9.75 before long.
Well, I mean that's intriguing enough, you know. Here at Edgy Stances, we don't make up the edge. We just chronicle it. That's a pretty edgy stance to take, bud.
Yeah. So, yeah, dude, Metroid. And, Scions. Metroid and Scions. Yeah. That's what I got.
It's an onion, bud. Many layers.
Yeah.
Many, many layers. Well, as promised for this show, mainly what I wanted to kind of talk about was, like, we're right here when all these games are about to start coming out, and planning episodes is going to be a lot easier, I will say.
Yeah.
Yeah, and
Well, how do you want to do this? You kind of want to go through these like rapid fire?
Well, I will start with these two just because I accidentally put them at the end of the list. This isn't as accurate because these are coming up at the end of September. But since we're doing this at the end of September, I'm just going to say Elex is coming out. I'm sure we're going to do a little bit more news on that one. I think it deserves a little bit of coverage just because it's all three. It's PC, Xbox, and PS4. So yeah. I'll make no mistake about not knowing a ton about that, but that will probably be, you know, news on that will be coming as we see. Because it's being released on the 29th and the end here of September. So we'll probably be able to see some streaming on that, see what that's all about. The cover doesn't really say a whole lot other than, you know, it's really sci-fi looking and made by the people who made Risen. This is super intriguing and really quiet. I'm surprised I haven't seen this all over the dashboard and stuff, but looks like Cuphead is finally seeing the light of day.
Old Punxsutawney Cuphead.
Dude, there he goes.
We're just going to recycle all the jokes, man. Oh, Punxsutawney Assassin's Creed's coming later.
Like a thumbs up poking out of the lava for John Connor. Here comes old Cuphead. Now, I don't know. Like, this one apparently had to get built on and built on and built on. They had a pretty simple concept. And from, you know, what I can put together, and I'm not the final word on this. I just digest the same news as everybody else. It seems that they had just higher expectations that they need to have on this thing that they built in order to charge people a lot of money and make it a big-time title. And I think that's kind of the struggle, was taking this concept, which is clearly based around this really interesting throwback, dare I say Disney, type of animation. Should I not say Disney, or is it more like Felix the Cat?
Oh, it's pretty shameless
stuff?
No, it's 1930s Disney. Like,
are we
hands
talking Felix?
Down.
Are we talking Bullwinkle? Are we talking Steamboat Willie? Or are we talking
Steamboat Willie?
DuckTales.
Oh, woo!
Or are we talking Doug?
No. We're not talking Doug.
Okay, guys, I promise I won't. I won't.
But yeah, I think the coolest thing about Cuphead is definitely the look of it, right? You know, that old school hand animated cartoon look. Seems really cool. The one thing that I'm not sure about is the reports I'm hearing is that it's like soul crushingly difficult, like bullet hell style gameplay.
Well, you want to look at everything too. I don't want to sum up something I don't know anything about, but I would presume that I would have a difficult time with it, just trying to look at, take it all in. I'd probably be looking for like little flaws in the animation because, you know, as you exert your free will on controlling the sprite, you know what I'm saying? Like, how smooth can they make it look? Because, again, like, we here at Edgy Stances, we know this is an audio show. So when we talk about this stuff, like, we're not trying to bring you the news. We're trying to help you with your Googles. So, like, Google Cuphead. We wouldn't be talking about it if it wasn't, like, visually worth it. Like, if you're not getting what we're saying, check her out. It's pretty amazing, especially if you watch the trailer footage. And you'll see what we're talking about.
It is. It's really neat. But yeah, like Jake was saying, it's kind of been through hell and back, apparently. It was first shown off as like a short boss rush kind of experience, and you know, the community was like, we want more, and so they've like built out full levels and stuff. So, you know, it's finally coming out. I'm excited
like
to see what people say about it. 2014
or 2015 E3 type stuff, right, when this started up? I don't want to just throw numbers out there, but it's been a few years.
Yeah, and on top of that, they said it was, you know, going to be kind of a smaller experience. And I think once Microsoft kind of heard the rumbles and whispers about how cool it looked, they wanted to give them some money and, you know, kind of build it out a little bit.
Yep. And I, you know, I've said it a bunch these past few episodes. I really like these little games that come out that aren't, you know, at a smaller price tag and maybe more. You know, I would never love Portal the way that I love Portal. I love the way that I love Portal today.
Yeah.
And I would not have known that had I not taken a chance on a game I saw on the Xbox Arcade. Don't kill me. I know it was Orange Box and all that stuff and blah blah. I'm just saying, like, you know, Cuphead might be worth it. Check it out.
Yeah.
And so, you know, like, I wanted to say those
also,
first mainly because,
you know,
coming
cool
out
that
here at the end of
someone's
September,
you know, coming out and says, you know, this doesn't have to be a 150-hour RPG. You know, like, it can be a short small experience. You guys there?
You.
Yeah, Eagle. Sorry. For anyone listening, if we don't edit this, Eagle just got cut out like hardcore.
Yeah.
Didn't hear you about there. Can we pick up? Can you repeat it real quick?
Yeah, I was just saying that, you know, it's cool that a company can come out and not, you know, have to do this 150-hour huge RPG. You know, they can do a short, small experience with a cool idea.
Yeah.
And hopefully, you know, the gameplay backs up the look, you know?
Yeah, I mean, hopefully. Dude. I don't know. are you guys going to pick it up?
You got to have the hat. You got to shred. Cuphead? Are we talking about Cuphead still?
Yeah.
Probably not. I'm going to watch it. A little bit first, you know, because end of the day, it is bullet hell. And let me say one thing real quick. Folks at home, we are still struggling for software to record. We get audio that drops out momentarily. So sorry as we're dealing with this episode. Anyway, yeah, I want to kind of see how it goes first because I don't necessarily buy shooters and stuff anymore. I like spend my money on that stuff.
Right.
One that if anybody out there does like top-down shooters or anything like that, and you haven't gotten Nier Automata, try Ikaruga. It's one of the coolest Ikaruga. Ikaruga. It's actually on Xbox and PS4. It's a little bit older of a game.
Okay.
But it is stunning. I had it on my Dreamcast. All right. Ooh. So I got those two September titles out of the way. The rest is October. Okay. So, all right, Machine Gun, if you want. Well, I don't want a Machine Gun. We each have our own respective titles that we're super looking forward to. Brent, why don't we start with you?
Yeah, so I'd say I'm most excited for Shadow of War because I spent a long time in the first one, and this one is just, I think they put a lot more into this, and I just feel like I'm definitely going to waste tens of hundreds of hours at least. Shadow of War, man, every time they release new footage of it looks fantastic. Last week they released some footage of you fighting the Balrog, and I'm like, yes, I want that in my life.
But that's that you shall not pass and all that, right?
You shan't pass. Yeah.
Oh, you shan't pass.
Gotcha. Yeah,
shan't pass.
That's like when they run up the middle and then cut.
Yeah.
It's a shant.
Okay, yeah. Gotcha. I'm sorry, dude. Shadow of War. We know that you are very, very much looking forward to this. I tried out Shadow of Mordor. I don't know. Maybe I'm dumb. Gotta get a little bit more used to it. It was a while ago. So we'll see what's up.
I bounced off as well. I tried it when they Xbox did their free play days a couple months ago, maybe.
Yeah.
I saw what people liked it. You know, I see some things that are cool. I don't understand the love for the Nemesis system as much as some people like it.
Obsessed with the Nemesis.
Nemesis.
Sounds like a Cypress Hill song.
That definitely wasn't my favorite part about it either, but I hopefully they've kind of ironed everything out in this one, and it might make sense to newer people. Because, like, again, it took me a while to get it, you know, like probably 20 hours into the game, and I was like, okay, wait, no, I understand this thing now. But I mean, not even fully. So hopefully this new one will kind of make a little bit more sense. But so Shadow of War, super hyped for that. And then another third person I'm excited for is Assassin's Creed Origins.
Didn't expect that to come out next, but yeah, no offense, I'm just saying.
I haven't been this excited for Assassin's Creed in a while, but like, all, I don't know, to me, all this gameplay that they've shown, it seems like it's going to be a pretty fresh take on Assassin's Creed, and I don't know, like, I just remember first playing the first Assassin's Creed, the first one, and just being like, this is crazy. Like, I instantly fell in love. So I kind of feel like I might get that back again a little bit with this new combat system they have going on.
I hope so, dude, because, I mean, it's the same problem as, like, where they lost me with 3. There are no freaking tall buildings in ancient Egypt. And don't tell me the pyramids are tall. I know that they're tall.
Palm trees are tall.
Yeah, but come on, man. How do you really think you're going to sneak around palm tree to top of palm tree?
You obviously never played Assassin's Creed 3.
There are palm trees in colonial Massachusetts?
No. But wait, it was like tree to tree.
Massachusetts at the time? If it was colonial? I don't think we were quite there yet. Anyway, that's my point. Because, yes, Brent, Crow, you're exactly correct. When I played the first one and the second one, and all of the, you know, the expansions to go on after that, was that Revelations and, you know, climbing those buildings, doing this game in a different kind of way was the allure to those first two. You know, the first you had, it was a great idea. The second, expanded on those with skills that you learned along the way.
Yeah.
In Assassin's Creed 2, Brotherhood picked up where you started with everything you had learned. It was kind of a SEO anthology, in a sense, that little three-piece series there.
Yeah.
And then they go into 3, which is Colonial, and I just felt like it lost a whole bunch of flavor to it. I get it, history and rebellion. That's always been the theme, you know, with this line of games so far. But I just want tall buildings to climb from.
Yeah, dude. Like, I'm with you, man. You know, because I jumped into Assassin's Creed 3 excited for the revolutionary stuff and, you know, fighting the British. And, you know, this seems cool. There's betrayal. There's neat stories here. But, yeah, I think it's very apparent that if Assassin's Creed doesn't have the cool parkour and heights and the neat architecture around it, the story is a little bit too odd to at least keep me entertained that whole time.
Yeah. And I don't want to be like, you know, on the scale of, you know, salty to triggered. I'm not trying to be super negative about a game, you know. Like, I want to be positive, but on the show we can, you know, I think we can be real but still be positive.
And yeah, like, I look at Assassin's Creed and my brow furrows a little bit, but, you know, that could be completely changed when I, you know, get through the loading screen and you're like, oh, wow, this is a cool city to explore. You know, who knows?
And I love Ubisoft.
Me too.
You know, and they have something for everybody, which we have said multiple times before. You are nuts about Wildlands. I am nuts about Watch Dogs. You know, it's just another flavor, I guess.
Yeah. And, you know, they said that they're adding some gear and loot and RPG mechanics, you know, which could be really cool. I think that's fitting in Assassin's Creed for sure.
Yeah. Did we talk about on the past show the concept of... like the modern day, I actually think we did cover it once.
Yeah, of like the of being in set in a modern day.
Yeah, so some of our conversations, I don't remember if we have them on the microphone or if we have them in real life, or whatnot. But I always thought that the progression should be, you know, you go from Italy or whatever, wherever else you are, to, you know, because the entire time you're Desmond. I do believe I talked about this on air. You're Desmond in the Animus, experiencing these lives in order to learn these skills. So I believed it should have all culminated in a game where you're, you know, suction cupping up the sides of like glass skyscrapers with all this cool ninja stuff that you learned.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah,
how to
totally
deal
agree.
With targets in a modern city. And that's, I'll stop there because I truly feel like we've talked about that already. So I don't want to keep beating on the dead horse there. But,
well, it's just the obvious progression too. Like, that's what people would want. And, you know, maybe it's Ubisoft just trying to, you know, subvert your expectations, right? Like, we expect it to be, you know, real time and present day, but they're like, no, Egypt, we'll show you the origin of the assassin. It's like, well, all right.
Yeah.
Like, they have my interest still.
I don't want to be too hard on it, but that's kind of where my opinions on it end, because I no longer really have any expectations for Assassin's Creed.
Yeah.
So I guess, you know, we'll just see. I don't see myself paying AAA price for this one, considering, you know, we have to have material for the show and stuff, so I have to kind of, you know, gauge where my money goes and what we're going to cover. So that one might not really make it.
But
you know, into my
I
rotation.
Will be, I'll say, you know, if it comes out to rave reviews, it wouldn't surprise me. You know, like,
oh yeah, yeah. That's not saying like I'm, you know, I'm above it. Not at all. Not at all. I'm just
pushes
saying,
up
like,
glasses,
dude. I already have. I have so much stuff that I need to finish anyway. So. Anyways, mm-hmm. Moving on. Well, I mean, you having your Switch, you know, with all this nipple talk, like how much are you really looking forward to Mario coming out next month? You know, speaking
really
of nipples,
excited,
Eagle.
Yeah. Woo! man, I'm really excited. It's been a long time since I played a Mario game.
You know, so you're going to get this one?
I
guess I
think
you kind of
so.
Have to, huh?
Yeah, yeah. I mean, there's a few games you got to buy with your Switch, I guess. Yeah, you
buy
need
the
Zelda.
Ticket, take the ride, bud.
Yeah. no, you know, they showed us some new footage that we talked about last week, so, you know, I won't go back into it, but I think the game looks fun. I think it looks creative. I think it looks sharp as far as graphics go. And I think it looks like the perfect kind of lunch break game, you know, half an hour here, knock a couple moons out and, you know, shut it back off, which, you know, there are in a game in a day in which, you know, all of our games are live service style games, you know, like you sign on to Destiny, like you can't pause Destiny, like you can't just like, oh, I'm gonna munch real quick and I'll come back. Like, it's a process. So, you know, having these bite-sized experiences on the Switch is really nice, and I think it's great for the hardware. So yeah, I'm super excited for Super Mario Odyssey. I'll be there for the launch for sure.
One thing that I don't know if I hope I can put this into words the way that I'm thinking it is that one thing about this brand new, super hyped, like super streamlined modern Mario that's coming out is that just like its predecessors, I still don't know what's going on when they show their level design and they show their world. One time it's a desert, another time it's an ice world. It's just like in 3, where one time they're giant animals, another time it's an underwater level. The paintings in Super Mario 64, that kind of served as their way to give you all these wacky different environments with the hub world that is the, you know, princess's castle.
Yeah.
And all that. And in this time now, with all this challenge to make everything look realistic and, you know, so much emphasis put on trailers and such, like this one, I can only imagine it's probably a huge challenge for a team of people to keep a game like this so fresh and wacky and everything so different in between, like a Mario experience.
Yeah.
Is, generally.
Totally. And especially with one of the main mechanics in Odyssey being, you know, throwing your hat onto a different enemy or a character and taking control of them and having, you know, bespoke controls for each and every different character and all these different animals and, you know, whatever. I saw them take control of a fork and climb a wall with it. Like, it was crazy. And yeah, like, I gotta give them all the credit in the world for being creative. And, you know, keeping honor to all of their old games, franchises, and properties. You know, it's really neat to see it evolve. But yeah, game looks cool. I'm excited to see all the different worlds and, you know, everything you can do.
And they're already great at the exploring dynamic, you know, the make sure you look for your blue coins from Resident Evil type experiences, your scavenger hunts and stuff. So I just feel like this Mario Odyssey world is just going to be full of surprises.
Check behind the waterfalls and invisible bricks for sure.
For all y'all switchies out there.
Oh, yeah.
Switchies.
Well, what are you excited for, man? You got anything coming up that's got your eyes sparkling?
I don't know. I mean, you know me. I'm kind of weird. I don't even know my own tastes. I didn't think I was going to be this excited about Destiny. I'm still not that excited. So I've been kind of, in trance with that. As far as what's coming out in October, South Park, I'm actually really looking forward to. South Park, So Far So Good is what it's called. Oh, wait. I'm sorry. It's South Park Fractured Butthole. I'm just playing. This game is going to be amazing. It gets pushed back to be made more amazing. I'm saying that because I'm assuming it will be amazing because the last game was amazing, as is the production value of most of the stuff these guys put out. So I'm glad that it's finally coming out. I think it's really awesome that it's on the birthday of one of my best friends who is also the biggest South Park fan I've ever met in my life.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, I thought that was pretty cool.
That's neat.
And at least I think it's his birthday. Give or take a day or two. Other than that, I'm not looking for. I'm probably not going to play it, but I played the first one, Evil Within. I look forward to seeing the Evil Within 2. But that's just because, you know, it's Halloween time. I like the spooky stuff.
Yeah, it's definitely a good time period for it to be released. And
yeah,
stuff, for sure.
I'm in the mood for it these days, you know.
Word. Bom, well, that's bom. What's up.
Yeah, I know you're also looking forward to Forza. I probably don't really have to ask you.
Man, to be honest, Forza Horizon has ruined me, though.
Say why.
Forza Horizon is just, I feel like, such a better racing game for someone like me than the proper simulation of the mainline Forza games. I just like the open world and exploring. That suits my playstyle better, but with all that being said, goodness gracious, does Forza 7 look incredible.
Yep.
I mean, top-notch graphics. I'm excited to see what that looks like on Xbox One X and 4K. Like, that is going to be nuts.
Indeed, that's really all I got to say about it. Forza loses me. I'm sorry, but yeah, the racers, you know, it's just ADD. My leg starts kicking.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, and then I start turning too hard, and then...
Well, the The last big one that, you know, at least that I've got my eyes on for October, would be something that Brent's really excited for, I believe, and that's Wolfenstein 2, the new Colossus.
Yes, I'm very excited for it, actually. I'm back, boys.
Oh, just called it out. Hey, people at home, tell us how we did. We just dealt with the power outage on top of this entire... Everything that has happened, this podcast, this recording. Might as well just tell them.
It's an absolute litany of
just
problems.
Marching Jesus. Through it, man. Just, oh, God. This episode feels more like the raid than the Leviathan. Am I right?
Yeah, is this like foreshadowing for a future in the raid? Yeah. Just everything's going to go wrong.
Hey, guys, let's just wipe. Hey, what's up? Hello!
Hey.
So, yeah, Brent, tell me a little bit about Wolfenstein. You excited for this one?
Yeah, totally. So, they dropped the trailer for this months ago, and Eagle, you were like, dude, if you haven't played the previous one, totally do it. Went on Steam. It was right there, $10. And I was like,
yep.
Yeah, absolutely.
I can't believe how quickly you ran through it, though, dude. Like, you didn't even tell anybody. It's just one day you're like, hey, I beat Wolfenstein. Like,
yeah, well, holy crap. Dude, it was like, it's a great shooter. Like, it's all there, like, really what you want. I mean, you're shooting Nazis, you're saving the world, and it's just the story was there for me. I really clung on to it pretty quickly, and yeah, man, I just sat and binged it. It was
catch
awesome
that ridiculous new trailer.
Yeah, no more Nazis. I love the name of it.
Jeez. Man, that one was saucy.
Yeah, and it just like kind of captured me because it's like stupid, silly. Like, you don't really have to pay full attention to the game while playing it.
Like a big old crunchy piece of hot chicken, man.
Yeah,
saucy.
Dude. I don't know, it was just like right up my alley. So after playing that one and then this new one coming out, man, I'm totally on board for it. I cannot wait.
Yeah.
It looks pretty wacky. It looks like a bunch of chain guns and jive turkeys all that
it's
stuff.
Like,
afros.
It's like a roller coaster of a video game. You know, like it's not on rails, but it's usually pretty linear. You know, it's a level to work through.
Yeah.
But, you know, it was one of the earlier games that I played on my Xbox One, you know, so I was still enthralled by the graphics and, you know, stuff like that. But I remember taking a video clip of a sequence in the first game of crashing a ship out of space back into Nazi Germany.
Yeah.
Flying through a window. Breaking my fall with a Nazi's face and then proceeding to snipe the rest of the guys like at point blank range in the room. And like, I'm just sitting here on my couch in my quiet house and my heart is pounding. You know, I'm gritting my teeth. And it's like, whoa, this is awesome.
Yeah.
Did the last one have as much personality as the trailer for this one is toting as far as its characters and.
I think it was a nice steady ramp up from the game they released a couple years ago, the New Order, and then the second one was the Old Blood.
Old Blood,
and they went more in a like character driven direction.
Was that a whole new game? I thought that was extra content.
No, it's a whole new game. Yeah,
I'm sorry.
It's the prequel, I believe.
You just blew my mind, dude. I've been operating under a different belief.
Well, the timeline goes the New Order. Or excuse me, it goes the Old Blood is the second game, but it's a prequel. And then the first game is the New Order, which is the second in the series. And then this newest one is Wolfenstein 2.
It's not called the whatever Colossus or whatever?
Well, Wolfenstein 2 colon the new Colossus.
Oh,
yeah.
Okay. Still Wolfen?
Still Stein.
Still Steinen. Yeah.
Still Steinen. Yeah, and I mean, this one looks funky with all the blood, guts, and afros. You'd think they hired on Quentin Tarantino to direct it.
Yeah,
definitely looks that way.
Looking forward to the coverage, Eagle, and Crow.
Yeah, dude,
and Brent.
We'll be there.
Destiny PC is coming out in October. Yep. Yawn.
Yawn.
I'm just kidding. That's probably where Destiny's gonna be. That's if Destiny becomes esports, money, trophies, it's probably going to be PC. Yep. All that.
I'm just excited for that
jazz.
Community to get their hands on it.
Yeah.
I know they're raring to go.
Dude, they're going to, man, I hope there's not cross-platform. They're going to
no,
hack and mod
no
shoot
way.
Me with with like a 5-round Gallarhorn. And
I mean, I'll say when I downloaded the beta on my PC and played it, and then went over to what? Because the PC beta was like 3 days before release.
Maybe a week. Yeah, it wasn't far before the console release, right?
Yeah. So like I like pretty much played my PC beta and then jumped right onto the full game on my Xbox. And I'll say, man, playing Destiny with the mouse and keyboard was fantastic. I instantly missed it as soon as I picked up the
mouse
controller.
And keyboard.
Yeah, dude. M&K.
M&K.
It's so different. It's like watching ping pong from overseas where they hold the paddle upside down. It's like it's so
right.
Mm-hmm. It's such a different technique. sadly, there's no we are expecting this year, but I haven't heard anything amongst other stuff going on with PUBG, which, you know, we try and talk about most of every episode. And I'm just playing. But I will say that you know, we're talking about upcoming releases in October. I was hoping to see PUBG on there. To me, soon is this year. So
yeah, hopefully.
That's okay as far as consoles. Brent just gave us a nice date. It's not October, but Monster Hunter finally got a date. It starts with a J, but not so bad. It's January.
Okay.
So
that's,
you know,
the best J.
Yeah, I am kind of looking forward to that. It's not October, but I figure I would just, you know, bring that up. And you other know. Than that, I have Fire Emblem, and that's the DS version that's coming out.
Yeah.
Are you a Fire Emblem player, Brent?
Dude, I honestly used to be. When I was, you know, way younger, I used to play a lot of Fire Emblem, and I haven't really looked too much into this one, but I saw it on our list, and I was like, dude, you know what? I actually might have to scoop that. I've been trying to get a little more mileage out of my DS. So.
Yeah.
I feel like they're all the same games, though. Like, even though I know Fire Emblem and Monster Hunter are different, but are they? You know, well, and then you have Pokemon on top of all that.
Yeah, I see what you're saying, and that's kind of what I feel like drove me away. But I feel like I've been away from it so long that, you know, a new fresh one could, you know, potentially be pretty decent. So, I don't know.
Plus you have your Metroids now.
I got my Metroids.
Yep. I got my Metroids. I'm not shaking. Look at me, Doc. You can let me go.
I'm good.
Boys, that's what I have for October. Do y'all have... Did I miss anything? I don't think I missed anything. We actually did this list together. So
yeah. Team project. Good job,
all
guys.
Right. Yeah, good job. And, you know, just going through this gauntlet of all kinds of things trying to get in our way this episode here. So if you're new to the show, every episode we do a little numbers section. We like to call it Overachievers. Eagle heads this part up. What we do is we pick a title. Usually we try and make it have something to do with what we've talked about that episode. Sometimes we check in with prior ones that started happening lately to see people's progress. Also, soon hopefully we'll be taking ideas from writers. We take these and we look at their trophies or their achievements and look at the percentage of completion and kind of hash that stuff out.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, so this week we wanted to take a look at The Witness since it's in the news again, coming to mobile. I think it's a fun game. It's definitely at the top of my list for, you know, games I played this year for sure.
Best game of all time?
Man, it's up there.
I was making a joke. It is really up there for you, bud?
Very seriously, yeah.
This thing touched you.
And like, the sad thing is I can't convey it to you without like spoiling the whole game.
That's what I'm saying. Like, it's so intriguing. I hope the cell phone counterpart brings this over.
Yeah, yeah, I hope so as well. But so yeah, like Jake was saying, each week on Overachievers, we take a look at the achievements or trophies of a game. This week we're looking at the Xbox achievements for The Witness. We look at the most common and the rarest. So kicking that off is the Symmetry achievement for activating the Symmetry Laser. That's the most common achievement in the game. And that was unlocked by 56.17% of players.
I just see petting a white cat. Activate the Symmetry Laser.
You'll never get me, Bond.
Mr. Bond.
Yeah, maybe. I don't really know what the story is in the game. I'm still confused by it, so who knows? Maybe there's a dude with a cat.
Did you activate the symmetry laser?
I got them all.
Got all the achievements.
All right. Well, there's one achievement that I did not get, and it is the rarest, and we'll cover it last.
All right.
But yeah, so to break down kind of the lasers, all the achievements are based around different lasers. Those are kind of sections of the island, if you will. The island is broken up into to different like biomes. There's a desert and tree houses and jungle, the monastery and bunker. So
activate the desert ruin laser. We missed him with the symmetry laser.
So, but yeah, so the cool thing about the Witness is there's no rules to like where you start. So, you know, somebody might start at the desert ruins, somebody might start at the tree houses, just depending on, you know, the first puzzle that you want to solve. There's no, you know, this one's first, this one's last. So
that's cool. Like Mega Man.
I don't know. I'm no Mega Man guy.
Wow, dude. Activate the tree houses laser on this guy.
All right, well, we'll move on down the list. So that's why these achievements might be a little hard to read, because there's a potential that someone went to the desert ruins, did that laser, and didn't do anything else.
Yeah, they're not really progression markers.
Right. Kind of, yeah.
Is
they're
like there
different
like
kinds
a
of puzzles.
Progression even as far as like a hallway where the symmetry door is first and the desert door is second? In so many words, I realize it's not a hallway, but you get what
yes.
I'm saying.
Yeah, I'll say that all the lasers seem to point the same direction. So, like,
so you
maybe
can, there really is no chronological progression suggested.
No, you know, and I don't know exactly how it works. There might be a certain number of lasers that have to be activated to move on, or it might be all of them. We went ahead and did all of them.
Well, there you go.
Yeah, but so after Symmetry, I came across the desert, and that was one of my favorite places. I just like the style of puzzles that were there. Lots of shadows and perspective things. It was really neat. But 34.12% of players were able to unlock that achievement. So getting down there.
Nice.
But then moving on to my favorite area of the game was the tree houses. I think they are like such a cool look. I like the puzzles in there. And that was... Do you guys have a location in a video game that you would like to live? Like if you had to get trapped in a video game?
The jungle area in Myst.
Yeah. I'm with you.
The first Halo installation?
The Flood?
Yeah.
Oh, dear.
Within the world of Resident Evil 7?
Yeah. Oh, God.
I would love to live within the pixelated world of E.T. the Extraterrestrial for Atari.
Okay, so buried in a desert? Okay.
Desert Fair laser.
But so the tree houses, that laser was activated by 22.51% of players. Pretty tough puzzles, but very fun out there. And just to wrap up a few of the last ones, the town laser was unlocked by 19.93% of players. And the town, for me, was kind of a culmination of, they had a lot of the other areas puzzles here. So, you know, you wouldn't be able to beat the town if you hadn't been through the symmetry area or the desert area to, you know, teach you about those puzzles. So that was kind of a neat place to exhibit all your skills. And then they have an achievement for endgame, and that is to reach the end.
Activate the endgame laser.
Yep. Pretty much, man. But yeah, if anybody out there has beat the Witness, come sit on my porch. We can drink lemonade and talk about it for days.
You got to get a Greyhound ticket to Nessus. Buddy Eagle will be out there with a bottle with three X's painted on it and a Vidalia onion.
Ooh. Gross.
I don't know what that... I mean, if you're from Georgia... Activate the onion laser.
Yep. But endgame laser, well, not endgame laser, but reaching the end, that has been completed by 15.4% of players. And I won't spoil the ending of everything, but those 15% of people that have done that, I know they did it because there are procedurally generated puzzles that you can't use a guide for at the end. So,
that wow. Is dope. Yeah, no fakers.
Yeah, that was one of the cool things. You know, that's we had been up. Using a guide to help us when we were stuck, and you know, we looked at it there, and it was IGN's guide, and they basically said, "Good luck. Like, we can't help you through this." It's like, whoa.
Activate the charlatan laser.
Mm-hmm.
Torture.
But then the rarest of the rare reserved for you overachievers out there, this one's a special one. It's a secret achievement. I won't spoil the name of it, because that might give some of it away. But it's been completed by 2.26% of players. And those of you who know who you are, oh, you know what you've gone through. I know what you've gone through.
Are you one of these people?
No, not even close.
Wow. Oh. This is one of the most intriguing overachievers we've done yet.
Yeah, I wish I could spoil it for you.
Is that the only secret achievement in the game?
They're all secret, but it's the only one that kind of hints at what it is.
Heard.
You know, me telling you to activate the jungle laser will not help you turn on the jungle laser.
Right.
Gotcha. So,
yeah. Check out the witness, guys. It's awesome. Nice.
Yeah, check it out. Get those percentages. Get those achievements. Stand up and be counted. Be one of these numbers that we talk about.
Be a statistic. Don't listen to your high school teachers.
Live your brand. Open the door for grandma. Don't smoke Siggies.
Cool.
Oh, man. Wow. Wait, that's the end of the notes.
Yeah.
Holy guacamole. We made it, boys.
We did it.
Bruised and tattered, but we
man, thank you for your patience at home. There were two or three points today where I wanted to scrap it, boys, and start over just to make sure that we sound good for the people that take their time to tune in for us. Thank you, people who take the time to tune in to us. You can find us on iTunes. We are the Bloodshot Eyes and Sore Thumbs podcast. A lot of times we shorten that to BEST because it is easier and accurate. You can find us on Twitter. We usually go by our overall name, like our website. That's edgystances.com. Find us at edgystances anything. We stream. We cook. We
Insta.
Birthday parties. Instagram. We're still on the fence about the Facebook. We should have a Facebook, but I just keep saying no.
But, our second day.
Yeah, I don't know. But whatevs. We still haven't heard anybody say anything about that yet, so.
Yeah.
It's whatevs.
We're good. We're plugging.
Yeah, everything's edgy stances. Talk to us. We'll talk to you. Give us some ideas for overachievers. Give us some ideas for stuff you want covered. And esports. You know,
yeah.
Let me know what you want to hear about, and I'll take care of that for you, bud.
For sure.
Yeah, I'll make sure you know what time your stuff's coming on. Just let me know what to look for, because it's a big, big world out there. Y'all did a great job this week.
Yeah, man.
Yeah.
Nah, Destiny, we're going through this raid, boys.
Yep. Y'all, please remember to stay ambered.
Goodbye.
I hope you have the best day you've ever had.
Remember when Edgy Stances told you to stay in bed? And it's the podcast is over.